The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented.
Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks, and I have got a holy cow episode for you. Folks, the globalist plan may have just been exposed. They are using possibly snake venom as a bioweapon. This comes from Dr. Brian Artis. It sounds crazy. It does. It sounds crazy. And I can't tell you 100% for sure if this is true or not. What I can do is present the evidence that Brian Artis is presenting. Brian Artis talked about things that sounded crazy about remdesivir at the time, and they ended up being true. So that's why I am bringing you this, is because he talked about things that at the time sounded, well, I don't know if that they're really doing that. And then they really ended up doing that with remdesivir. Well, now, as crazy as it sounds, it seems as though they have learned from snake venom the traits of snake venom, and that they are copying what snake venom does and making the spike protein act like snake venom. He might even think that they use actual snake venom. I don't know. I don't think that. I think they're studied snake venom and maybe are using the traits. It's hard to say. You make up your own mind. We're going to pick it up in the video where you can decide for yourself, but we're going to pick up in the video right after Dr. Artis is saying that he received a text about if he had gotten bitten by a snake, would he go to a hospital to get the anti-venom, to get treated? And then he goes into this whole thing, and I found it really interesting. Check it out.
Okay, this is where it all started. I will repeat what Steve Kirsch said to an audience with me last month. He said, if the CDC says something to do, you do the opposite. If the NIH says to do something, go the opposite. FDA, do the opposite. I'm sitting there realizing that antivenom is monoclonal antibodies, and then I immediately revert back to, in my own head, I'm not trusting anything the CDC, NIH, or FDA says. Is our federal health agencies, are they recommending monoclonal antibodies for COVID-19? Now, this is in the middle of December. No, they're not. Right. They've been bad-mouthing monoclonal antibodies this whole time.
Stripped them out of Florida when DeSantis wanted to use them.
And then January 21st of this year, they totally stripped out monoclonal antibodies. They do not want you touching monoclonal antibodies. They also didn't want you from the beginning to touch hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
They also don't want you touching ivermectin. They also don't want you touching NAC.
Yes.
And acetylcysteine. So the things they tell you to avoid, we know they're telling you to avoid because they work. So when I realized that the federal health agencies actually were not supporting monoclonal antibodies, I mean, in an instant, I realized I was wrong.
Right.
That the CDC, NIH, and the FDA are bad-mouthing monoclonal antibodies for a reason. They know they work.
And we believe that this is because they want people intentionally to not recover.
Absolutely certain.
Yeah.
No, there's no doubt about that. Oh, no, this is a... This actually got way more evil for me since I read that text than even before I read the text. I cannot believe the amount of evil behind this pandemic with what I've realized since then. I realized all of a sudden that monoclonal antibodies are anti-venom. The federal government doesn't want us using anti-venom. Why are they bashing antivenom, and why are we finding antivenom works against COVID? Is it not a virus? Is it a venom? Like, this is what I want to know. Like, is COVID a venom, and this is why they don't want you using monoclonal antibodies?
I mean, that sounds completely insane as a theory.
It is completely insane.
I mean, how would the masses be infected by snake bites?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you believe the mass media is controlled?
Of course.
You actually do believe that?
Yes.
So you believe that whatever's being pumped out in the media is being orchestrated and controlled?
Of course.
Like across all of it?
Across all of it.
Okay, good. All right, so in my head, I was like, okay, how do they keep people on that story? So there's this mass media group who are telling a huge story. They're all telling the same story around the world. Whenever anybody says anything against that narrative, what do they use now to combat that in the mainstream media?
Disinformation.
Yeah, they call them fact checkers.
Yeah, fact checkers, yeah.
Fact checking is the opposite of fact checking.
The arbiters of lies are the fact checkers.
By definition, fact checkers are to divert you from truth and take you back to a narrative you're being sold worldwide.
Right.
If it's true, that COVID could actually be snake venom, and how I got there was they don't support the use of anti-venom called monoclonal antibodies because they work. The easiest way to figure that out is, has that ever been fact-checked? And I wanted to know, was there ever any mention that the source could have been a snake?
And?
Oh my God. I couldn't believe it. Over and over and over in the media in January and February of 2020 are nonstop publications that the original source could either be from bats, snakes, or pangolins. And every time the snake is mentioned, fact checkers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, constantly fact check it and spin it to the bats. There's no fact checking about bats. They keep letting you look at bats. In the beginning, in January of 2020, the scientists inside of China said this can't be from these bats. These bats hibernate and it's the winter. When they did genetic sequences from the antibodies in the people who were sick in Wuhan, they found that their genetic sequence was not most like bats. They were most like two snakes. Proteins from the Chinese crate and the king cobra. Then I find in April of 2020, there's a research study published in France where they're finding that the receptors in the brain called nicotinic acetylcholinesterase receptors, that these are actually bound most tightly to snake venom of crate and cobra is what they're finding, and that the spike protein from SARS-CoV-2 is most identical to Chinese crate and king cobra venom. Then I find out that there's an actual doctor who works at the University of Pittsburgh in May.
This is insane right here.
In May of 2020.
Yep.
Works in a computational lab dealing with genetic sequencing. And he's been researching for 5 months. Sequencing of spike proteins. Trying to solve the mystery of SARS-CoV-2 victims. And he says he's got a big thing to... big press release. They're going to actually announce all their findings. And Bing Liu is his name.
Setback in the quest to understand coronavirus after a researcher is shot and killed. 37-year-old Bing Liu was on the verge of making significant findings on COVID-19.
And that's when I freaked out. Also, all of the clippings in the media when they interview his boss, who is still at the University of Pittsburgh, last name is Bahar. Every time he was interviewed, he said that they were going to publish the work they found through Bing Liu's work in their department. That's never been published. I'd like to know why. A year and a half later, that's never been published.
A year and a half now.
Where is it? And then all of a sudden, the realization came that this is the great lie. When I say that they have lied to you about everything in relationship to COVID, they've even lied about the viral part of COVID. Now, you have to understand here, my entire stance for the last year and a half has been to educate, warn people about hospital protocols because of a drug called remdesivir.
Right.
So, in this realization that this could all be related to venom, something bothered me in the January 21st EUA that came out from the FDA about remdesivir. In this 42-page document, it actually says there's only one drug that cannot be co-administered with remdesivir at the same time because it negates the antiviral properties of remdesivir, and that drug is hydroxychloroquine. In 2020, January, there's this incredible study that's published where there's been over like a 10-year period where a company has been funding a research study gene mapping all the genes of the venoms and proteins and peptides inside of king cobra venom. And in January 2020, they published their findings. Oh, ask me if I was shocked when I saw that it was 19 toxic venom proteins that they isolated that specifically target organs in your body. So I go to the funding part of this study, and I want to know, well, who funded this and how many companies? It says that the majority of the companies funding and studies funding came from a company called Genentech. Genentech is a subsidiary of a company called Roche. I don't know anything about these companies. I've never even heard of them. The employees of Genentech, who were the authors of this study, said they have a conflict of interest because they actually hold shares and stocks in Roche. And all I did was go like this. This is not a joke. I was like, Genentech? I've never heard of Genentech. Is there a correlation between Genentech and Gilead? This is not a joke. I typed it on the internet. Is there a connection to Genentech and Gilead? Oh my God. Gilead bought two facilities that deal with biological studies from Genentech in 2011 and then brought 55 of their executives into Gilead in 2011. Just when that King Cobra study started. Gilead is the manufacturer of remdesivir. Guess what's been known since 2005? Blocks the nicotine receptors in the brainstem being injured by cobra venom and viper venom. Guess what drug does that? Hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine. Remdesivir, packaged and stored as it is delivered to hospitals, comes in a little glass vial. It's called lyophilized powder. It actually has a white to yellowish tint. Guess what color snake venom has when it's stored? Then to be diluted in sodium chloride or distilled water to be administered in an IV. Or if people are buying King Cobra venom lyophilized, they mix it in the same preparation as listed on the fact sheet for remdesivir to actually take cobra venom or any other viper venom and inject it into horses to make monoclonal antibodies. When you read the emergency use authorization for remdesivir, it states, this one from January 21st, that every practitioner who administers this to a COVID patient, pediatric or not, you have to evaluate for what's called prothrombin time. Prothrombin time means if it increases the prothrombin time, it means it's taking your blood's ability to coagulate and making it longer. So it thins your blood. You can't clot.
Right.
You will internally bleed to death. With remdesivir, it is stated on the emergency use authorization, every patient has to have its prothrombin time checked before you give it remdesivir and during treatment. Do you know what King Cobra venom does to the blood?
It makes it so that it can't clot.
It makes it so it can't clot. You know what one of the evidences is? It's prothrombin time. And if you look at the CDC's website and the NIH's website on the adverse events from remdesivir called Veklury, it actually says it increases prothrombin time, which is exactly what King Cobra venom does to the human body. And remdesivir is lyophilized peptides, proteins of King Cobra venom. The University of Arizona published last summer a paper when they actually evaluated the blood samples and tissues of people who died, hundreds of them, from two different hospitals, after being treated for COVID, which means they got what drug?
Remdesivir.
When they evaluated their blood, the title of their published article is
Welcome back. Why do some people, seemingly perfectly healthy, die from COVID and others don't? It's a question baffling experts during this pandemic.
That sure is. A new research from the University of Arizona suggests we're closer to getting an answer. As Team 12's Jess Winters explains, it seems to boil down to an enzyme that's also found in rattlesnake venom.
What does this rattlesnake have to do with COVID-19 deaths?
We turned much of my research in my lab towards COVID a year and a half ago.
Chilton says he got blood samples from more than 100 patients in a New York ICU. They either had no COVID, a mild, moderate, or severe case of the virus. He did some fancy schmancy artificial intelligence in his lab and discovered two distinct patterns in the people who were dying from COVID.
These patterns, number one, told us that the vital organs were in trouble, but the other looked as if they were being attacked by some enzyme.
He says he then found the highest concentration of this enzyme that has ever been found in humans.
These levels attacking internal organs means multiple organ failure and death.
So where do the rattlesnakes come into play?
This enzyme is a humanized version, part of the same family as the active ingredient in snake venom.
In simple terms, this enzyme related to rattlesnake venom that's been found in humans is likely causing tremendous damage, leading to COVID-19 deaths.
And then they take you through all of the elevated enzymes in the blood samples of these people that are naturally found in rattlesnake venom and viper venom that are in levels they've never seen before. Do you want to know how they got there? 5 to 10 days of remdesivir. They've known since 2005 if you inject a mouse with cobra venom, you inject it like they're doing with remdesivir, injecting into your veins, it actually causes a cytokine storm in the lungs of all animals. I am convinced that COVID-19 is not a respiratory virus of any kind. It is actually venom poisoning. And they're using, I believe, synthesized peptides and proteins from venoms of snakes, and they're administering them and targeting them to certain people. Now, the amazing thing about these 19 toxins found in cobra venom, they're specifically sequenced to target specific organs. Like the pancreas in a diabetic, like the heart in a heart disease patient, like the liver in a hepatitis patient.
Wait. So if I die because I'm a cancer patient, or if I die from some sort of liver-related function because I've had liver problems, if I die, then it'll be undetectable. It'll be untraceable. They're gonna chalk it up. Of course this diabetic died.
This is the most original of all bioweapons ever. Snake venom. I mean, we know how poisonous snakes are. This is the most obvious bioweapon ever. When I say this is the most evil thing I've ever encountered in my entire life, could you ever have imagined that the one greatest symbol of evil in all of Christendom, what is the symbol of evil in Christianity?
The serpent.
The serpent. Can you think of anything more evil than envenomating the entire world with snake venom and then injecting snake venom into your veins and then using mRNA technology that they've been isolating from snake venom for years that they know are unusually stable, more stable than any other mRNA they've isolated from other natural organisms for decades. 2015, they took mRNA from cobra venom, crate venom, and they actually wrapped the mRNA in nanoparticle hydrogel. How often have you heard about that with these new mRNA vaccines? And they made it even more stable. Then they actually added what's called dynabeads to those nanoparticle hydrogels surrounding the mRNA of snake venom. And it made it even more stable. It made it last longer. It made it easier to get inside of your cells. Do you know what dynabeads are? Magnetic metal nanoparticles.
Brian Artist then goes into how the snake venom, if they're using that, and he's putting out the case that they are, that they're using the serpent, that symbol, and he goes deeper into how the picture of evil could be, and snake could be used to affect your body and your cells. And, well, is the mRNA being used in that way? Are they taking the spike protein and making it mimic what snake venom would do to you? Or have they used actual snake venom? I don't think so. I would think they would just use the proteins and stuff that would be in it, obviously, because they're injecting you with something. But it's hard to really say. Make up your own mind. Take a listen.
You take that snake or that serpent, and you figure out how to isolate genes from that serpent and get those genes of that serpent to insert itself into your God-given created DNA. I think this is the plan all along, was to get the serpent's, the evil one's DNA into your God-created DNA. And they figured out how to do it with this mRNA technology. They're using mRNA, which is mRNA extracted from, I believe, the king cobra venom. The king cobra venom. And I think they want to get that venom inside of you and make you a hybrid of Satan, no longer just belonging to God or a creation of God's. When I say that the mRNA inside of the Pfizer Moderna shots is actually derived from snake venom,
yeah,
it just sounds crazy, right?
It's yes.
But I want you to read.
Do you know
how? I want you to read from July 6th, last year, 2021, the co-founder of Moderna. Read the title, show it to the camera.
Moderna co-founder using mRNA technology to treat venomous snake bites.
It goes on to say that he's going to help create and co-found a company called Opherix. Look it up. It's phenomenal. Opherix. Opherix is a brand new company based in San Francisco that actually is going to solely work on creating anti-venom drugs for snake bites. Guess who funds this thing? The whole company.
The Department of Defense.
The Department of Defense, the Wellcome Trust Fund, and the United Nations. Incredible. Okay. All right, so this is great.
Let's wrap our heads around that for a second. How many snake bite victims are there?
It's like 100,000 people.
100,000 people will die from snake bites, but this is enough for the CEO of Moderna to make that this is a huge issue. But not only that, but the importance for the Department of Defense and for the United Nations to get on board and to fund such a venture.
It seems like he's onto something. My gut is telling me. I can't prove it, but I think if more people dig into this, if more doctors and more scientists dig into this, that's what we need. We can't just brush off something, I'm hoping, just because at first it sounds crazy. Who would have ever thought all the things that have happened in the last year? It all sounds crazy, all of it. Sometimes truth can be stranger than fiction. This does sound like something that would be stranger than fiction. Look, the original video was banned immediately on YouTube, as quickly as possible. So if the other side thought it was a bunch of crap, wouldn't they want it out there to make people look stupid? I don't know. I can't tell you whether it's true or not, but I wanted you to decide, make up your own mind. But here's the thing you need to remember most of all. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya!